we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, we're joined by Caitlin Durstein, who runs Saudi Strong Conservatives, a grassroots Facebook group that covers the Souderton Area School District. She's become a community leader, and she's also been involved in various local efforts to oppose mandates in schools and elsewhere. Welcome, Caitlin. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So obviously, we're going to center, hopefully, a lot of this conversation around what you've done as a leader with Saudi Strong Conservatives, some other groups and efforts that have happened. Something that jumps out at me right away that I'm kind of curious about is, in the interviews we've done so far on this podcast, most everyone has been with Reopen Bucks since pretty early on. You joined about a year ago now this time, so not at the very beginning, but you found us. I'm curious, you know, it was about a year of pandemic happening before you found Reopen Bucks. What was going on? What was your story? Like, how did it all begin for you?
Yeah, so for us, my husband and I, with our two boys, we were living up in Buffalo, New York at the time when the pandemic hit.
Oh, man.
So, you know, when it first hit the New York City area, we were kind of like, okay, what is this? You know, my I have family that work in the medical field in Jersey, so it was very real to us what was happening. I didn't quite understand the lockdown statewide. That was a little, you know, why are we masking up in Home Depot in Buffalo when, you know, the pandemic's in New York City 8 hours away?
Right.
You know, so
get
already
out of here with that logic.
Yeah, I was already kind of, why are we locking down all the schools for 2 weeks, you know, when the pandemic is happening in New York City 8 hours away? All of those things didn't quite add up, but I thought, you know, 2 weeks to slow the spread, you know, that's great. We'll have a family vacation and, you know, just hunker down. And it sounded good to us. So I don't think any of us foresaw that it was going to be 3 more months out of school at that time. Even the teachers were kind of shocked that we were working with. And since my son is special needs, he needed speech, he needed PT, he needed OT. And so we were kind of grappling with the reality of what that would mean for his education and his future.
Yeah, the losses, yeah.
Yeah.
So you decide, all right, we're getting out of New York, I assume?
Yeah, so basically, we had already had a really intense year to 2 years of just Ethan's health issues. There were a lot of things happening for him. Mm. And we got a surgery, thankfully, just before COVID hit. That really changed his life. You know, he wasn't sick constantly then. But it had already had so much strain. You know, we had a new baby. We had, you know, this special needs kid. And we had no family in the area. And we're both from this area. I'm from the Lehigh Valley. My husband's from Telford, Harleysville area. So we were like, you know, maybe this is just the right thing. And then when COVID hit and he was working from home, I'm like, this is it. You're already working from home. Let's like just go home and be near the grandparents and get the help that we need and the support that we need. So we moved. It was amazing. We closed on our house up there. 30 days later, we closed on our house here. And
this is really early on. You moved in, what, April, May, something like that?
Very early. I'm pretty sure that's why we got our house, because it was during those 2 weeks where no one was allowed to sell anything or like nice. The real estate had completely shut down. So I kind of laughed, because even though I didn't know about your group, when we first moved down here, we were staying with my parents for a week during that interim of closing on our new house. And so already I was up in Hellertown, you know, playing with my boys on the playground and kind of ripping down the tape. I was just like, because when we moved to Pennsylvania, I thought, oh, finally, we're moving to the land of the free. We're out from underneath Cuomo.
Oh, no.
And here we are. Yeah. I'm like, what is going on in Pennsylvania? I thought this was the land of the free, you know?
Yeah. And then you got to deal with the tape all over again. Well, that's cool. We had an episode about the whole playground brigade, and you were kind of on your own.
I was kind
of
on my own
out there.
Thankfully, no one stopped me.
That's awesome. So you got down here, and you know, kind of the rest is history. I am curious to hear, you know, how you rose to prominence, for lack of a better way to put it. But you are a legit, full-blown leader there in Souderton area. And my first I guess, awareness of you was actually probably like January or February of last year, so 2021, where you were involved or getting involved with, I want to say it was Keeping Kids in School PAC. There have been a bunch of different PACs, and we'll kind of talk about this. But I'm curious, you know, from moving here to the time when all of a sudden, you know, you're becoming prominent and people are learning like, oh, this Caitlin person is doing a lot of good stuff. What was that journey like? Like, how did you get involved?
Yeah. So after being forced to virtually homeschool my son for 6 months and do all of his sessions myself for his therapies and realizing the inadequacy of that, you know, it's like, I'm not a trained professional speech therapist, you know? And so there were limitations. He wasn't really progressing. Then we started at Souderton School because Souderton did open. I didn't even realize other schools were closed down because we were just new to the area. So I was like, I thought all the schools were open. And so Ethan goes back to school. And even though the mask mandate was there and I felt uncomfortable with that, I sacrificed because we were so desperate to get him in-person therapies. And he started thriving. Like he started reaching some major milestones because he had the most amazing teachers in the world. And like, I cannot speak highly enough about the program that they have there. And so he reached all these milestones. And then I hear that there's this meeting with our Monco Department of Health that they are going to lock down schools again. And I'm like, no, I can't do this again.
Oh, this is the infamous when November, 2 weeks in November of 2020, Valarcus shuts it down for
And it wasn't Monco. Just 2 weeks. They put, you know, they filmed us like crying over 2 weeks. I'm like, it's not about 2 weeks. It's about the 6 months I've already lost my son's education. And it's that these 2 weeks are with extension. And everybody knew they were fully planning to extend it through January.
Of course, yeah.
And so I had no reason to doubt that they weren't going to. So I heard that there was a phone call. It was like on some sort of Facebook feed. I popped on the phone call. I ended up being like the fifth one to share. And I shared about the special needs community and what the damage, the long-term damage that this is having on this community. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I didn't even know that there was news watching that interview, and they blasted it out all over Philly channels. And all of a sudden, these people are flooding to me on Facebook, like messaging me, like, thank you so much for speaking out for the special needs community and this and that. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm like, well, maybe we should just, all these people are coming to me, like, what do we do? And I'm like, maybe we just have a rally. And then the next day, John Neils got in touch with me. He founded the PIPE movement that day, Parents for In-Person Education, when they decided to lock down. And he said, do you want to be a part of this? And I said, sign me up. I'd like to do a rally on Saturday. He said, great. That'll be our first event. And so
the alliance was born. Yeah.
So he ran the whole, there was a lawsuit that I was a part of against the Monco Department of Health. And then I ran, you know, most of like the rallies, the just interviewing parents, hearing their stories, and then feeding that to the news. So mm-hmm. if the news would contact me and say, we need a parent from this school district, I'd be like, great, I've got three parents for you. So just helping to get people's stories out there. I mean, we had a woman whose son was blind that was being told to do virtual education. Ugh. I mean, these stories need to be told. Yep. If people don't have a heart connect, then nothing is going to change. And so so that was kind of the impetus. And from that group, once the two-week mandate kind of let up, parents started really advocating in their school districts. And we thought, let's just provide them with resources to do that. So we started filling our website with like, hey, bring this to your school board. Here's the latest on the science and the data and the research. Like, take this to your school board. And as these parents were taking this to their school boards, they were realizing that it was falling on deaf ears in most cases. And there was just no amount of conversation that could be had that would change it.
Yeah, no empathy really by that point.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. And so finally, parents were like, we need to run for school board. And I remember one mom specifically in Methacton area that said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to run for school board. And I thought, yes, this is what we should do. We should help parents run for school board. You know, it's coming up. Like, let's do this. You know, I've got a background doing fundraising. Let's raise some funds for you guys. We had a large group at that point. So we started kind of building this out of PIPE, this Keeping Kids in School PAC. And so that's kind of the impetus or where it started.
Interesting. Yeah. So you go from that to, I want to say Saudi Strong is kind of birthed in the same time frame. Am I understanding that right?
It actually happened, I think, about a month after the Keeping Kids in School pack was launched. So it was about February time. I found myself at my own school board meeting, and I hadn't been attending them prior because I was so busy helping other school districts. And I thought, our school district is good. They don't need any help. They're rocking it. And so I wasn't as, you know, concerned. So I showed up casually kind of to my first school board meeting in February and found out that there were not four people running for school board, but five. And I thought, okay, I need to do my research. And so I started researching all of them. And one of them specifically, I was very, very concerned about, you know, someone who's a part of the teachers union, is a teacher at North Penn, wanted our school district to look like North Penn. If you've seen North Penn, I don't want us not looking great. Anything yeah, like North Penn. Great. And so there were a lot of things that were very concerning. So I thought, you know, I don't even know. I knew two other parents in the school district at that time. Most of my friends were actually from the homeschool community. And so I thought, you know, I'm just going to start a Facebook group with these literally two people that I know and just see what happens and see if we can get some yard signs out was kind of basically my thing. Like these four candidates are running that I support. They're awesome. They've been, you know, fighting for our kids. Let's just back them. Like, let's finally affirm when people do things right. We spend so much time on the negative and cutting down things that are wrong that we don't actually celebrate people who are doing things right. Like, there, I should have been at the school board meeting in what, the beginning of the school year to celebrate these guys. It shouldn't have taken until February. And so I'm like, let's do this. Let's support these people. And so, our group grew pretty rapidly and, now it's, you know, around 800. And so that's, you know, basically the group that we did everything with. So
I love hearing the origins. It's always a similar story. When you look at the groups that have really made big impact in like these local areas, it starts off like very genuine. It almost just feels innocent, like you're just trying to do a good thing in your community. And then somewhere along the lines, because there's good leadership there, it turns into a force. And that's what I feel like when I look at Saudi Strong Conservatives. It's one of these groups focused on an area and on an objective and an idea that does really, really well and accomplishes things. And some of them, you know, there will be similar groups that are more focused on just kind of like community discussion. Not much happens, but it's a place where people can talk or whatever. But I'm always really intrigued by the groups that just like wind up getting stuff done. And really, you wind up with power is what happens out of it when you put in all of that time. So it's cool to hear that origin of the whole thing. Now, at that time, what's that? We're talking like March and April of 2021, same time frame, I think, that you find Reopen Bucks are joined. So how did that happen?
I think that a lot of people it was kind of like whispered down the alley with all the other leaders in the area. Like I was kind of starting to network with different conservative leaders through Montco and Bucks and getting more connected. They're like, you haven't heard of Reopen Bucks. And I'm like, no, there's this group that is like the same value. Everything that I've already been, you know, doing and fighting for is already fully operational in Bucks County. Like, let's bring that over to Monco. Now, of course, I live in the Bucks portion of the Sourton School District. So,
interesting. So, for the listeners out there, yeah, it's one tiny little borough, Telford Borough. Yes. The rest of the whole district is in Monco.
So I do live in Bucks, you know, I am a part of this movement as an official Bucks resident. But there's this tiny portion. So I got linked up with your group and there was just so many good resources, good feedback. And I just, because I'm so busy with my family, I really don't have a lot of time to just kind of chit chat. I'm more of like, I like to just get things done.
Oh, yeah, we're here to do stuff.
And yep. I just, for me, I'm like, oh, a group that's giving me resources to get something done. And I just kind of felt, yeah, I wanted to be involved with that. So
a question there is, obviously, Reopen Bucks. I don't know if you know this yet, but we've kind of set plans in motion to bring the group into some form of hiatus here as we approach what we are all, I think, both sides of the equation, hoping is some kind of like an end to COVID. And we're going to wait. We're going to see what happens in the fall. Does hysteria come back? And if so, then we're going to be right there. But finding what the exit ramp is for the movement. And the reason I bring that up is to say that Reopen Bucks, we were always really firm with like, this is our movement, this is our thing. It's Reopen focus, it's COVID focus, and it's Bucks County focus. And your group has, I mean, it's named Saudi Strong Conservatives. So along the way, after you started, I think primarily to support the candidates running, you were talking about like giving them credit for getting kids into school when they did, which was early for Monco. How did the message kind of transition from just a reopen focus, or was it a reopen focus at the beginning? And how did it, you know, you add in all of the other factors that you do today?
Well, I would say because I'm just more singularly focused on my school board area or my school district, that we are able to cover several different topics. You know, it's not just about, even on my mission statement, you know, it's like,
You have a mission statement. Let's address that, everybody.
Well,
that's awesome.
Just that, you know, we want to provide an environment for kids where we're raising proud Americans, where we're not supporting CRT or gender studies in our classrooms, and we are supporting medical freedom, which is mass choice, vax choice. And I think that my group encompasses and fights for all of those things. And so, whereas you guys are more broadly, you have more of a singular focus because you're so broad, you're an entire county. We have the ability, because we're just focused on a school district, focused on a couple different things. And so in the course of the election, you know, there was all sorts of issues coming up because people wanted to know what candidates were supporting CRT or not, what candidates were parent choice with medical rights and who weren't. You know, those were really important topics that parents wanted to know. So we were kind of fighting on all of those fronts. And, I realized that in everything that I've done, it's not so much that it's not me. People look at my name and they say, oh, Caitlin, you know, you're doing this. But I'm like, no, all I did was kind of lay out a plan. But everybody else, their heart was already there. They already wanted to do something to make a difference. I just laid out a plan and people said, oh, I like that plan. I want to get involved. I want to do that. And so when I said, yeah, we're going to pass out yard signs. Great. I'll help you do that. Okay. Call 20 of your friends. Great. I can do that. Let's go door knocking. Great. We can get 10 people out to door knock this weekend. You know, all I did was just kind of lay the options out there for people. Like, you can be as involved as much or as little as you want. And anything that you do makes a difference. Even if you only pick one thing, you are making a difference, because I can't do it by myself. I only have my friend network is only so big. But if all of us do one thing, then all of us can accomplish something really great.
It's an amazing perspective. I look back to how we've structured things and put out calls to action. And like you said, you just try to keep nudging people in the right direction, and every little bit winds up really adding up by the end of it. Now, I mean, it really goes to the heart of something I was saying earlier, that when you look across different groups and what they've been able to accomplish, a huge factor is leadership. Is there strong leadership in place? I wanted to chat with you and have you on because I feel like there's really good leadership in Saudi Strong, and I'm sitting here with
it. Thank you.
Now, what happens when you have that in place is you take a lot of arrows from the other side. Let's get into that. I could probably talk all day about the crap we got to deal with and just, you know, dorks who want to make your life miserable because you're doing great big things. What has that been like for you? You taking a lot of heat being in your position?
Definitely. Definitely. I actually had to, you know, register my first police report this year, which had to do in my entire life. You know,
it's not cool.
That's not cool. Lines. But yeah, of course. I mean, I think that, you know, I think that all of us in America who are just the average people that love God, love country, love our family, we just got tired of people calling us racist for not supporting BLM. We got tired of people calling us white supremacists just for who we voted for. I think we got tired of people calling us, you know, bigoted for not wanting pornography and books in classrooms. I think that, and I think, like, if silence is going to make you guilty, you know, if you're guilty until proven innocent, you might as well just speak your mind. And so, at the end of the day, I was very quiet before this. I was never outspoken on social media. I was like, I'd always rather have a conversation with someone. You know, I don't really want to put myself out there and have that backlash. But after getting backlash just by doing nothing, just by saying nothing, I thought, this is for the birds. I might as well just, you know, say, no, this is what I believe in. I'm a strong, proud conservative. I love God. I love all the people, this earth, you know, that he created, you know, no, I'm not racist, you know, because of the color of my skin. And if that, you know, if that offends you, I'm sorry. But there are certain things that are being peddled right now that are just simply not true. And, you know, I think that it's important for people to, I think that kind of pushed a lot of people out of the boat that were just like me, you know, a lot of us were right? Like it was kind of the perfect storm of all these things happening at the same time with the lockdowns and the mandates and all this pressure, like you're this and you're that and all the accusation coming. And you're finally like, all right, well, gloves off. I'm just going to come, just going to come out of the closet. Right.
Yeah,
I'm just
might gonna, as well. Yeah. What's
might
the
as well. Like,
I'll tell you, it's weird to me to have lived through COVID and feel like everyone in our circles, I assume this is the same for you. It's pretty much everybody that, you know, is kind of core to Reopen Bucks. It's almost like you've had a curtain pulled back that you've seen behind and now you never unsee that. So we have certain world events happening now, like Ukraine, for example, where you can just clearly see, regardless of like where you fall politically or whatever, because of the experience with COVID, you can clearly see that like there are strings being pulled and there's weird messaging.
Sure.
Very overt. And it's just intended to affect people and stuff. So I think that to your point, to the point you're trying to make, a lot of people have just gotten to the point where they're like, okay, I've seen it and I've lived through it and maybe I'm carrying some baggage through it. But now, you know, I know on the other side that I can just do what I think is right and cut through all of that crap.
Yeah. And the attacks are intense. I mean, I know that there are a few kind of stalkers that I have that have kind of gone through my whole history of everything. They're like looking into my mortgage statement. They claim, oh my gosh, it's like they claim that I'm like paid by the GOP. I'm like, oh God, if you knew the GOP.
I love that one. That's hilarious. That's
like, everybody's apparently paid by
like,
the GOP.
Like, hey, sit down with me. I'll talk to you about the GOP. Exactly. Like, we're not friends, okay?
But I'm just, you know, I think that they come up with these outlandish, don't you think it's suspicious that she moved from Buffalo, New York? I'm like, trust me, if you want to take care of my kids, you will see in one day. You know, like, so I think that people are very quick to make accusations. I've got a website that they put up, you know, against me, or they take down my Facebook videos and they cut and splice and make it say different things. And then, you know, but, you know, at the end of the day, what do they have to fight for? I don't, you know, at the end of the day, I sleep well at night. I love my family. You know, I love my husband and my kids, and we are happy. You know, I don't know that those people are.
You know, I go back to, seriously, the splicing of the videos and all that stuff. You talk about the websites. I mean, this stuff takes so much work. I would never consider doing that just because I don't like what someone else is doing. So I'm going to do it against them.
Exactly.
We put in that effort to make a difference that we want to see in the world.
See positive
That's
change.
A difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We don't, I don't believe in cancel culture. I don't believe that, you know, I'm not going to spend my days tearing down someone else. I'm going to spend my days building up people who are doing things right and fighting for our country and fighting for we the people. And so that's what I'm going to give my efforts towards. And if people are really going to give ear to these kind of wackadoos on the, I don't know what else to say. And I want to say that it's not the hand, it's not the majority. It's just a handful of these from the, you know, I've met plenty of moderates that are just kind of in the middle that don't really care about this or that. But if you're going to be led to believe because someone put up this video on some ghost account that they can't even say the real name, you know, it's like, I'm sorry if you can't even, I proudly put my name to the work that I do. And if you don't like it, that's okay. Like, I'm not asking for everybody to agree with me. And even in my own group, we have disagreements all the time about, you know, this candidate or that, or this position or that.
It's healthy.
But you know, if you're going to be led to believe, oh, there must be some sinister thing behind this, there must be some money behind this because some person with a ghost account makes some crazy video of you, I don't know what to say. Then please just don't believe everything you watch. Like, yeah. I don't know what to say. If anything we've learned the last 2 years, it's like, don't believe everything you read. Don't believe everything you watch. There's so much that people can do now with video and media and the way that they slant stories that is just simply not true. So.
Well, you've done amazing things with Souderton and making a big difference there. I kind of moving to wrap up here. Where does Saudi Strong Conservatives go from here? First of all, actually, we didn't even mention, and I want to make sure everybody hears, you're kind of moving to a new brand, right?
Yeah, I was just going to mention. So We had a conflict with Saudi Strong is actually a campaign that our local Ed Foundation does. So we didn't want to bring further conflict there, and you know, because they didn't want to be politicized. And I, because I'm new to the area, I didn't realize that was something that they had done. I just thought everybody's got a hashtag and it fit.
Yeah.
So so now we are officially rebranding after much debate to Indian Valley Conservative Voice. And that is just, and I think that's more of who we are anyway. We want to be a conservative voice, and we want to be a community of strong conservative leaders that are bold and able to stand up for what we believe in and articulate what we believe in and really be an influencers in our area, you know? And so, yeah, so that's what we're rebranding to. We just got our logo and we are working on our website now. It's going to be ivconservativevoice.org.
I love it. So where does that go from here? We obviously have a really big election coming up. What do you see? Are there like short-term and long-term goals? Do you think you'll do it forever or for the foreseeable future?
I definitely think for the foreseeable future, I'll be doing this work. But I think that our short-term, I think that short-term goals are elections. I think that that's actually the short-term. I think the long-term goal is actually building a community where you actually educate yourself and ideas, like where we are changing or shaping ideology, you know, because I think something that the left has been very good in is getting into our educational system, right?
And they set the Overton window for too long.
It's exactly.
Time that we start doing it.
And so it's time that we start teaching about the Constitution again. It's time that we start teaching about American history. And so I feel like the short-term goal is winning primaries, winning elections. It's getting people to fill just committee member seats so that we can make sure that we have strong conservative Republicans representing us, so that we can make sure that we have strong conservative Republicans on the ballot. And that's going to be a process. You know, it doesn't happen overnight, but we're working on that. And I think that the long-term goal, though, is raising up a generation of people that understand why they believe what they believe. You know, it's like a lot of times in faith, people will say there was a point that I came to where I kind of just chose. It wasn't my parents' religion anymore. You know, it was mine.
Right.
And I think the same with conservative values. I think that we've assumed that the younger generation is just going to get it. But how can they when they're bombarded constantly?
Such a good point. Yep.
With the social media that's out there, we have no hope in the news and media to create a conservative value system within our youth. And so we need to be the ones that are sharing this with our kids and doing community groups where they know why they believe what they believe. So that's kind of the long-term goal.
I love it. I really love it. It's more you're taking and capturing what happened here in a grassroots way and converting it to a bit of a foundation of a community. It's something strong that you can build on as more and more time goes by. So I love it. I just got to say, huge thank you for everything you've done. It's been a pleasure to get to know you, to be involved with some of your efforts. Hopefully that gets to continue. So we are up here in Penridge, not too far from you guys, and obviously just really love everything you've done for the community. So big thanks, and thanks for coming on and chatting with us.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. See you later, everybody.